Welcome to a special GFSI podcast to celebrate World Food Safety Day. GFSI Senior Manager Ann Girardi moderates the discussion with esteemed guest Cindy Jenks, Head of Technical for Food Safety, Quality and Compliance at Pick n Pay, Kelly Stevens, Director of Global Food Safety and Regulatory Compliance at General Mills, along with GFSI Senior Technical Manager Lalena Rondri-Manansu. Over to you, Ann.
Welcome, everyone, to GFSI podcast to celebrate World Food Safety Day. As you might know, the United Nations General Assembly established World Food Safety Day in 2018 to raise awareness of the importance of food safety. The campaign is jointly facilitated by WHO and the FAO, and World Food Safety Day is a super important way of making people aware about food safety issues, demonstrating how to prevent illness through food safety, discussing collaborative approaches to improve food safety across sectors, and promoting solutions and way of being more food safe. This year, the theme is Food Safety, Prepare for the Unexpected, stressing the importance of being prepared for food safety events. So as GFSI, we wanted to celebrate World Food Safety Day with speakers in this podcast. As you know, GFSI is a key historical partner of Codex in settling a momentum among the industry and its community to celebrate World Food Safety Day on every June 7th. Food safety saves lives. It's not only a crucial component to food security, but it also plays a vital role in reducing foodborne disease. Every year, 600 million people fall sick as a result of around 200 different types of foodborne illness. The burden of such illness falls most heavily on the poor and on the young. In addition, foodborne illness is responsible for 420,000 preventable deaths every year. World Food Safety Day in 2024 edition is drawing attention to food safety incidents. The importance of being prepared for food safety incidents, no matter how mild or severe those food safety incidents can be. So what are food safety incidents? Well, WHO defines food safety incidents as situation where there is a potential or confirmed health risk associated with food consumption. A food incident can happen, for example, due to accident, inadequate controls, food fraud, or natural events. While being ready to manage food safety incidents, it requires dedicated efforts from everyone in the supply chain, policymakers, food safety authorities, food business operators, farmers, consumers also play an active role. I want to welcome my great speakers. And first, I maybe want to ask the question to Lalaina. Lalaina, I think we would like to understand the role of GFSI in this entire food safety ecosystem. Just first, outside of food safety incidents, can you remind us what GFSI is? And also, not most importantly, but to understand what we are, what we are not, and what we don't do in the food ecosystem. To set the scene and also to present in this ecosystem all the stakeholders, their role and responsibilities in the GFSI ecosystem, and what is our role or what is not our role in those food safety incidents.
Thank you, Anne, and happy World Food Safety Day to all. I'm very pleased to be with you today to celebrate this great occasion for food safety and talk about GFSI's role in preparing for the unexpected. So let's be clear, GFSI does not handle food safety incidents. Our stakeholders have much more exposure and are more likely to be involved than GFSI in the handling of any food safety incident if linked to a site that is certified against one of our recognized programs. As a benchmarking organization, GFSI will drive harmonization in defining those key elements of an effective food safety management system in the GFSI benchmarking requirements. And if successful, this benchmarking process leads to GFSI recognition for a given certification program. So our stakeholders, the certification program owners, certification bodies, auditors, technical reviewers, certified sites themselves, and anyone involved in assuring that food is safe for human consumption will actually have a much more direct involvement in preparing for the unexpected when it comes to food safety. So food safety management is a shared responsibility, and it requires multiple experts from different disciplines to do this effectively, particularly in times of crisis. But to me, food safety, QA leads and their teams are definitely at the forefront of this, as times of crisis require a very structured and methodical approach that is intrinsic to their role. GFSI will therefore leverage the broad range of experts that we have in our community to set the bar in terms of those key components of a robust food safety management system and processes associated with that aspect that will set you up for success in minimizing the risk of occurrence of food safety incidents. All of this adopting, obviously, with a science-based approach. I would like also to stress the fact that there is no such thing as a perfect system. I believe in testing the system and acknowledging system failure where it is. I find it just as important, you know, to identify what went wrong without blame or shame, so that in the event of a food safety incident being linked to a site that is certified against one of our recognized programs, the role of GFSI will be to support the root cause analysis and explore the potential system failure or failures leading to those situations that are obviously unfortunate, where human life is endangered through the consumption of food. All of this is touched on in the benchmarking requirements. So a long answer to clarify GFSI's role in preparing for the unexpected. And as to the second part of your question about what we do and what we don't, this is definitely a great opportunity to debunk those myths about GFSI audits. There is no such thing as a GFSI audit. GFSI does not audit. There is no such thing as a GFSI certificate, let alone a GFSI standard. What we do is benchmarking. So through its benchmarking process, GFSI recognizes a given certification program where there is alignment with the GFSI benchmarking requirements, complete alignment, both from the standard content and its actual implementation.
A great intro. So I think we agree to say that quality assurance managers are the best to handle food safety incidents. So now let's go to the experts handling those food safety incidents. So let's go first to Kelly. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do exactly at General Mills, and what is your overall in food safety incidents? Thank you very much. And thank you for being there with us today. And
thank you, Anne. I am thrilled to be here today and so excited to celebrate World Food Safety Day. So a little bit about me. I'm actually just celebrating my 20-year anniversary at General Mills.
That's and great. So congratulations as well.
20 years in food safety. And you know, if you're familiar with General Mills is a $20 billion global food manufacturer with brands that are enjoyed in more than 100 markets globally. Think about the fun in the role of food safety at a company such as this. I've had a variety of roles at my time in General Mills. I started out working in our manufacturing sites as a food safety quality engineer and as a food safety leader. So I've had time on the shop floor, deeply understanding in food safety incidents as they start and being accountable for them and being accountable for the tools for prevention. My current role, I'm the Director of Global Food Safety and Regulatory Compliance. Yeah. I'm incredibly fortunate to lead a relatively small team of food safety subject matter experts. That includes our internal food safety auditor. So a team of food safety auditors that go out and do auditing at all of our General Mills manufacturing sites.
All right, that's great. We call them second party auditors at GFSI in the GFSI world.
Well, thank you for that, Anne. Absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit more about auditing later, I think. And then our team also has all of our food safety technical experts, our microbiologists, our thermal processing, our allergen experts, our food safety plan managers, our sanitation team. And then we also have our regulatory manager, team that we work with when there's a food safety incident needing market action. So our team has a very active role in food safety incident management, investigation and evaluation and management. It's a team sport, right? It takes all the players together to really, starting with the manufacturing site, maybe with our suppliers, with our internal partners, maybe with our R&D teams, and then externally, what you know, is our certifying body, our regulators, and maybe some external experts. So it really is a team sport, and excited to talk more about that today.
All right, that's great. Thank you very much, Kelly. Cindy, same question to you. Who are you? Well, even if a lot of people already know you as a member of the GFSI steering committee, what is your role at Pick n Pay? And how do you handle food safety incidents at Pick n Pay? please, the floor is yours. And again, happy World Food Safety Day to you, Cindy.
Thank you, Anne, and hello, everybody. Hi, ladies. It's an absolute pleasure to be part of this podcast today on World Food Safety Day, and I'm very happy to share our experiences with you. For those that don't know me, my name is Cindy Jenks. I'm the head of the technical division of Pick n Pay. Pick n Pay is a retail chain in South Africa. We have stores in South Africa, in Zambia, Zimbabwe, Swaziland, and Botswana, and we sell food, general merchandise, non-foods, as well as clothing. So my team, I have a big team. I have a team of 28 food technologists, a diverse team, an expert team, and I'm very privileged to work with such a formidable team. Mm-hmm. They are responsible for quality and safety across our supply base when it comes to our own brand products, and we are responsible for in-store food safety. We are for supplier food safety on our own brands, we also need to look after our stores to make sure that the food that we sell to our customers comes out of a food safe environment. In addition to that, I have 43 quality controllers that are based in our various distribution centers, where they are responsible to ensure quality that is coming into our DCs meets the required specification according to the agreed specification with our suppliers. So my team are responsible for handling food safety incidences from the supplier to the retail stores. And incidents are highlighted through the team. So either we pick up an incident as a result of continuous testing that we do as part of a ongoing program, or incidents are highlighted to us through suppliers. And then once the incident is highlighted to us, we take the necessary action. We've learned through various incidences that have happened over the years, that the quicker you deal with the incident and you communicate to the relevant stakeholders, be it internally, externally, and the regulators, the calmer the situation becomes. So handling a food safety incident is part of what we do, and we need to understand that it is very important to communicate it to our consumers, because ultimately we need to ensure we provide safe food to them.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. So if I didn't understood well, you will be providing to us this two-at approach that you have, which is specific to retailers, manufacturing and retailing products. What are the tools you have in place in your own food safety systems to prevent and manage food safety incidents?
I'll start with the retail side. So in our toolkit, From a store point of view, we have a program in place where we audit our stores on a monthly basis. And the reason that we audit our stores on a monthly basis is to help us identify potential risks that have been identified through the audit process. And it's a continuous training program that we use to train our store colleagues to ensure awareness of food safety is top of mind to reduce food safety incidences. In terms of our own brands, we ensure that all suppliers that supply into Pick n Pay under our own brand pass a food safety audit. By doing this, it helps us to safeguard ourselves and the brand, as we don't always have the resources to visit all suppliers to ensure that they have the necessary food safety management systems in place. In terms of our own brands and in-store produced food, we have testing protocols in place. For supply and manufactured product, we test supply and manufactured product under our own brands. In addition to the testing that is done by suppliers. So we don't take the responsibility away from the supplier. We test in addition to what the supplier is testing to ensure that we cover all bases.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to build on a lot of the great things that Cindy shared, and I'll look at it from the manufacturing perspective. And so when I think about a company like General Mills, right, building food safety in to how we design products is the first tool in the toolbox. If we don't design a product to be safe, there is no way we're ever going to be able to manufacture it safely. So think about this team of developers and my ongoing aspiration that everybody who touches food at our company and beyond understand the biological, chemical, and physical hazards associated with the materials and the product that they're developing. So think about all those food safety advocates that you're continuing to build and train and educate. And think about the diversity of brands that a company like General Mills has, right, that are feeding products to customers like Cindy and many others. So it starts there, making sure they understand the potential hazards and that they have appropriate mitigations built in so they can transfer that to manufacturing. In manufacturing, right, it's all about starting with that foundation of the food safety management system and bringing it alive, right? It's not just a book on a shelf and a pack of pretty papers. It's ensuring that it's being executed on the shop floor. And that takes leadership, right? That takes metrics. It takes ongoing training, right? So when we think about the power of auditing, we really take a layered approach. Our manufacturing sites are accountable for monthly auditing of their sites. And that includes ongoing coaching with employees. So not just I found something on the floor and it shouldn't be there, but hi, how are you today? I see you're doing a metal detector check. Tell me about the protocol you're using and tell me what you do when something goes wrong. All that integrated there. Those should be the toughest inspections, right? And then we have our second party audits from my team that go in and they audit against our internal policies and standards. They should be tough, but if we're doing our job on the monthly, they shouldn't be finding anything. And then we have external audits, right? Our GFSI audits, our regulatory inspections, and our customer visits. Again,
right. That's what we have third-party audits.
We have them all, right?
And they're not GFSI audits at all. They're audits benchmarks. Against one of the GFSI recognized certification programs. Yes.
Yes.
The right thing. That's the right way to say it.
I appreciate that. Coaching and ongoing learning. I wanted to say, though, is, you know, audits are a point in time, right? They're not the only tool, right? There are a lot of other tools in the toolbox, but they're a test of the system and they're a learning opportunity. So if you're only doing an audit to pass the test and get a certificate, you're really not achieving what you want to achieve. And I have a quote I wanted to share from our internal audit team. They talked about what they feel proud about, and they talked about elevating global food safety through auditing and also creating meaningful connections and building capabilities, right? And that's what we want, right? As we look at how do we prevent food safety incidents, it's that entire ecosystem.
We couldn't agree more with both of you. WHO is saying there are four components in managing and preventing food incidents. One is a need for rapid exchange of information. Second is effective communication. Third is robust food safety management plan. And fourth, decisive action by food businesses operators are key. As a retailer and as a manufacturer, would you agree with that statement? Or do you think there is something missing? Or is there one of that of those components you want to dig in for us, please, ladies?
Yeah, I'll be happy to go first. I agree with those elements. You know, I think what we're seeing is a speed of information transfer around the globe like no other. So that rapid exchange of information, it's happening whether we intend it to or not. And what's really important is we're managing food safety incidents and partnering with all the external stakeholders that we need to do during that time. We have to have the right information being communicated. It has to be fact-based and it has to be appropriate for the market and the regulatory requirements, which may or may not be harmonized. We're seeing it more quickly than ever. And so when you think about that tension of when you're working on a food safety incident, there's the technical evaluation, there's the scoping and the communication, all of those happening in a really short time frame. So making sure that you have a plan before you ever have to deal with it is really important, right? Because that structure allows you to be effective in developing your communication and developing your scoping and understanding, and then getting the right information out to all the people who need it.
All right, thank you, Kelly.
From a retail perspective, I totally agree. Effective and timeous communication is key in the event of a food safety incident. The quicker all internal and external parties are notified and the more open and transparent you are, you gain trust with the consumer. If a food safety incident is prolonged and not communicated timeously, mistrust sets in with the consumer. And I think a key learning from us is communicate through all available channels that you have as a business. The quicker we can get the message out and as widely spread, send that message out, use the possible resources that you have available. If you have loyalty cards and you have the authority from the cardholder to communicate directly to them, use that as a focus or a communication channel to get the message across. And I do believe that from a retail perspective, clear communication to our retail stores and our customer call centers, as they are the customer-facing parties, it's got to be clear. They are dealing with the customers that are returning products, and they are dealing with the customers wanting answers. So the clearer the communication and the easier the communication is communicated to our staff and to our customers, I believe that it makes the incident easier to handle. It gets rid of the hysteria.
Thank you very much. I'm going to question you about something that we call the ORC at GFSI, which is the Online Registry of Certificates. As you know better than us, the food safety certification system is complex, and the overall trust of global food safety standards and certification has sometimes declined in recent years. So with this challenge in mind, the objective of GFSI through the Race to the Top, and especially through a specific project, is to rebuild trust around the certificates of the GFSI recognized certification program owners with better transparency. And we want to do that in delivering a free to access centralized online registry of all certificates issued against a GFSI recognized program. This free resource will allow users to verify whether the certificate is GFSI recognized and whether it is authentic. And it will provide an opportunity, we hope, for members and beyond users of all GFSI certificates and audits to against one of the GFSI CPO to verify the certification status of their own supply chains. So this is a concerted effort asked by the industry to improve transparency. And this is a critical feature for us in, again, building trust in GFSI recognized certificate, enabling manufacturers, retailers looking to procure from certified suppliers and to do so with ease, and to improve the ability of willing businesses who are certified with GFSI recognized certification program to also make themselves visible for the effort they are doing and the investment they are doing to the entire stakeholders they are seeking to engage with. With that in mind, why this project, why you think this project is important for you, for GFSI, for the GFSI ecosystem, and for the industry? Cindy, do you want to go first?
It would make life so much easier for everyone. And I'm going to talk for my company, ourselves. Right now, when we're looking for certificates, we're having to click through various different websites and to look for the certificate, or we are relying on suppliers to provide us with those certificates. And at times that itself is dangerous. I believe by having an online repository, it will eliminate the risk of fraudulent certificates landing up on our desks. And unfortunately, in the world that we're living today, it is a risk that we need to consider. And by having one port of call that we can go to a repository and all certification bodies' certificates are present, it would make our lives so much easier. So yes, absolutely in favor of an online repository.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Kelly?
Couldn't agree more with Cindy. But I will go back to Anne. Thank you for describing that and giving an overview, because I'm incredibly excited about this work stream for all the reasons that Cindy said around having a credible an open access forum to these certificates, because as a manufacturer, supplier management, this work stream around certificates is a foundation of that work. It's not the only piece, but it's an important piece. And if you can free up the time associated with searching for a credible certificate, you free up resources that can do additional work in whether it's managing your supplier management program or outcomes from that. It just really makes sense.
Thank you very much. We often say every crisis has its own learnings. Can we say that also from food safety incidents? And is there any way you have learned and improved because of a food safety incident in your own companies?
Think about every food safety incident that I have been involved with has been an incredible learning opportunity, both on the technical side and on the non-technical side in this communication that we just talked about, right? The clarity of communication helps decrease hysteria. That is absolutely true. So one of the things that we build into our process is ensure that those learning opportunities are captured. And we do two events for every incident. The one is we debrief the technical, what went wrong, what do we need to do to make sure it never happens again, and how do we spread that learning across the network? And sometimes, you know, depending on what it is, we also share externally to our company at scientific venues, right? So to make sure that somebody else doesn't have the same situation happen. We also do a debrief on the communication and the incident management. What went right? What went wrong? What did we learn? How do we change? For example, when we talk about all those vehicles of communication and getting to the consumer, right? Social media, would you think that TikTok might be appropriate, right? What are all the different communications we have to give to customers so that they can talk to consumers? And when do we have to talk to consumers directly? And of course, how do we share with regulatory in a way that we're all communicating the same message so that we decrease confusion and we build trust? So all those learnings are put into place. And when we start the next incident, we refresh because our documents have been refreshed and we start with the learnings.
Learnings then, Kelly. Thank you. Cindy?
Absolutely. I believe that with every crisis, we need to look at the learnings and opportunities. As you are aware of the Listeria outbreak that happened in South Africa in 2018, where we lost over 200 lives, that outbreak definitely made food safety top of mind in the food industry and to consumers. The outbreak highlighted the importance of ongoing compliance to food safety, continuous testing that needs to take place, and the due diligence of product compliance. Industry learned from the outbreak. I believe the country learned from the outbreak. Our regulators put in stricter controls that have been implemented, particularly in that sector of the food industry, and the playing fields are level for suppliers to supply safer products to consumers. So it was a really difficult time that everybody went through, but I do believe it gave us all the opportunity to relook at our testing protocols, relook at our food safety systems, and understand if there are areas of improvement, let's take this as the opportunity to make those improvements.
All right, that sounds like great learnings. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Cindy. You both talked in your responses about regulators, and I want to spend a bit more time on that one and discuss about the importance of collaborating between the public and the private sector, and especially on food safety incidents. First, I would like to know, well, there are many questions I have for you on that topic, but is there any struggle with lack of harmonization of such diverse food safety incident regulation all over the world when you have global operation? Are any of you using InfoSan place to improve also collaboration between the public and the private sector on sharing rapid information about food safety incidents?
Currently in South Africa, we don't have one point of access to food safety incidences. Mm-hmm. We currently rely on the regulators to provide the industry with that information. We're not a global retailer. We only have stores in sub-Saharan Africa. So if we have a food safety outbreak and it's in our stores, we would then communicate that across the borders to our other operating partners. But no, we're not part of InfoSan. And I think it is a great opportunity to collaborate with the regulators to get one port of information where we can all access to see what is going on globally. Because outbreaks in one country, you look at the melamine outbreak that we had many years ago in China, it didn't only affect China, it affected the entire world. And if we could have access to a portal or a platform that allows us to go in and view all the incidences, I think that would be ideal.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And as a global company, that can be a challenge because right now there's just no credible single source of information related to incidents. So we use a variety of systems and services for ongoing monitoring of the food safety incidents and scanning the horizon, but there's not one place to be able to say, here's a summary of, hey, biological pathogen X seems to be on a rise in this type of commodity around the world. We can use that information maybe to build prevention in sooner. It just doesn't exist today. So you're scanning a lot of different data sources and then trying to say, okay, this pops up and says a trigger in my mind that's something that's related to maybe something we can learn from, as opposed to being able to say, here are my products that we produce as a company. I want all feeds around food safety incidents related to them so that, I can understand the entire supply chain. Just not there today.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Lalaina, I want to come back to you with any perspective from the GFSI standpoint, from your standpoint on that.
Certainly. I think GFSI is no exception. We also experience our own type of challenges and crises, and we definitely learn from them. I think one thing I wanted to build on is what Kelly and Cindy said about the collaborative approach. Naturally, you can go faster alone, but it's better to go together and you cover more grounds this way. But most importantly, in terms of learning, I like the example about leading, you know, the leadership and the fact that you lead with also the culture aspect, because this is how you actually demonstrate the importance of food safety in your organization through the culture and these behaviors that you can, you know, see on a day-to-day basis. And just to put that in the context of what we do within GFSI, for example, we're not only looking at the content of the standards that we, you know, that are submitted to us for benchmarking, knowing that we recognize the combination of those standards and the protocol to implement them. Therefore, it's also just as important to verify the effective implementation of this standards content and make sure they can take you to a place, you know, that delivers the desired outcome, which is safe food for the consumers.
All right, thank you. That 2024 World Food Safety Day campaign, WHO is calling to actions all food business operators, and it's a threefold call to actions. Firstfold is to establish and regularly update food safety management plans. Second, know how to avoid food safety incidents by following good hygiene practices. And third is to provide regular staff training. So are any of those actions that is an area of specific focus in your company that resonates more with you?
It's really difficult to say one of them is more important than the other, because I think all three of them are really important. You've got to keep your food safety management plans up to date, even in the retail environment in our stores. We've got to move with the times. We've got to change according to the challenges that are posed to us. And we can't just leave it until it's up for an annual review. It's got to be changed all the time. A key focus within the business is definitely to ensure we have ongoing communication and continuous training with our store colleagues with regards to the importance of good hygienic practices and good housekeeping. Training needs to be continuous to ensure that food safety is top of mind when they are preparing food for consumers. We've also used the opportunity this World Food Safety Day in our communication to our internal colleagues is to give them guidance in terms of safe handling of food in their own homes, so that whatever we are training on within the store environment, we're taking back into their own homes, so that the chain is continuous. We don't do it in one environment and not in the other. So in my opinion, all three are as important as each other.
I think they chose wisely. If you don't have those right, you're only setting yourself up to fail, right? So, And this work takes regular reinforcement. So as I think about my time in manufacturing, I remember a time we had a focus on hand washing. And as we really looked at that and said, how are we going to do this, right? And what does this mean? You know, we think it's so ingrained that people know they have to wash their hands, and well, maybe they don't. But what we realized as leaders is that every time when we went walking on the plant floor, we might wash our hands at the entrance, but we would then pass many hand wash stations as we entered different production areas, and employees would see us not washing our hands. So it wasn't because we weren't compliant, because employees would only see us for a 5-second, 20-second snapshot that didn't include the hand wash station 5 minutes ago. So that really changed our journey and our narrative around as leaders. When we walked through the plant, we stopped at every single hand wash station and had conversations with employees about hand washing. We learned which ones didn't have warm water. We learned which ones weren't being stocked. But it really was important for people to see their leaders washing their hands when we're asking them to do it every day. So yes, I think absolutely. That's super important. The other thing that Cindy said that really resonated with me is that, you know, our employees have to believe in food safety, not just when they're at work, but also when they're at home. Yeah. And I think one of the biggest learnings in my life that I ever had was when my father-in-law lived with us, and I would bring home food safety messages that we were working on, you know, for new training, and he would laugh at me. And then to see how he brought them to light in the unintended ways, because he was interpreting them through a different lens, and maybe he had a little different background and he might have been a little defiant now and then, but it really helped me see how my messages were being received by a non-food safety professional. And I used to say to myself, if I can't influence him, how in the world am I going to influence an entire employee base to make changes or to work in a different way that'll keep them safe from foodborne illness? So it was a really interesting journey, and I learned a lot.
Since I'm at GFSI, I've been hearing that no system is infallible. And so have you ever believed that using the GFSI tools, which means buying your products, your commodities, being certified from one of the GFSI recognized CPOs, is preventing those products from everything and anything.
So I wish there was a guarantee that we could make perfect food every time across the entire supply chain. But we know we're dealing with raw agricultural materials. We're dealing with people doing the best they can every day. And I believe that people show up for work with good intentions. And they're dealing with what happened. When I think about the importance of having a food safety management system and testing it through a variety of means, what that does is it builds resilience. It allows you to get early signals that things may be going off track so that you can react to them. It allows you to find things that happen maybe before they grow to an issue that becomes out of control. And it allows you to react and maybe make your processes stronger. Again, in the heart of doing prevention. So do I think everything's going to be perfect because I have the best documented food safety management system? No. But do I think the system's going to be stronger because of it, because we execute it well and we continue to do all of the things that we just talked about? Yes, I do.
To answer your question, Anne, about no system being infallible, I think that as the food safety incidents come into various shape and forms, and like Kelly said, it's a combination of metrics that lead you, you know, to a more robust system in terms of risk management, and reducing the occurrence of these incidents to nil is absolutely not, you know, something that is realistic. So no audit will bring zero risk to your food safety management system. It's really the combination of measures that you would take, and this is largely covered in the benchmarking requirements, as we actually touch on everything that's been mentioned so far, you know, good hygiene practices, the food safety culture, and all these very key elements of a robust food safety management system.
Great. Thank you, Lalaina. So do you have any specific learning?
Yes, I believe that customers expect us to sell them safe food.
Yeah.
And far too often, I think food safety is taken for granted, and it shouldn't be taken for granted. Yeah. Stakeholders in the supply chain need to ensure that the food that they are supplying is safe. Suppliers need to take responsibility for their food safety programs and not rely on the audit. You know, I far too often hear, but we've got an audit. How did this happen? An audit is a snapshot in time. They need to be ongoing monitoring and validations in place to ensure that the food that they're providing is safe. And if a food safety incident is picked up, because it does happen, to Kelly's point, if we could supply safe food every day and never have a food safety incident, life would be much easier. But it's not the reality that we face every day. So let's take the necessary actions and don't cover it up. If you've got a problem, bring it to the fore, communicate it, and let's handle it and move it out of the supply chain so that we don't make people sick. And I think that's one of the key learnings from me, is that if you have an issue, let's own it, let's face it, communicate it, and move it off our shelves.
Thank you, Cindy. That's an amazing message. Thank you very much.
I'll start with an add to Cindy's comments, and then I'll share some of my learnings. You know, when I think about your message, Cindy, I think about when it's time for us to deal with a food safety incident and we have to pull product from the marketplace. I think there's a lot of fear sometimes that people have when that happens. And I want to help reframe that, because when we think about public health and we've identified a food safety issue and we've done the investigation and now know that we have to pull that product from the marketplace, we are taking action to make things better.
Yes.
Right. And I think when you frame it that way, when you're speaking to teams that are working on it, you're making things better for public health. I think that helps at least a little bit take away some of the fear. So when you get that first signal, and it can come from a lot of different places, the first state is usually not correct, right? It's a signal, it's directional. It's important to investigate and follow that data because you get a much clearer picture. But you also have to act with urgency to gather that data and separate the facts from the beliefs, because that will lead into your communication plan. Have a plan and make sure everybody knows their role during an incident before it happens. Because my experience is a lot of people want to help, right? Everybody wants to help solve a problem, make it better. But it's really most helpful to have a designated team to manage that issue with clear communication to all the other stakeholders. And then finally, keep calm and ensure that all voices are heard as you're leading through an incident. People are looking to you for leadership. And if you're going, oh, my goodness, this is so scary, or this is really hard. That's the attitude that's going through the organization that's investigating. Being calm and being data focused helps give everybody the space to really get to where the best decision is. And that's what I've learned.
Wow, thank you. Amazing comments as well. Be calm and data focused. I love it. All right, I want to finish with a final remark from all of you. The need for collaboration in food safety incidents, especially with external stakeholders, and how essential this is in ending food safety incidents. And so I really want to hear your voice and thought about that. And I want to thank you for being part of this podcast. That was great to spend that time with all of you ladies. I was very honored. So thank you very much. Cindy, do you want to go first?
Yes, I shall. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
In terms of collaboration, it is absolutely vital with all stakeholders, be it external stakeholders or internal stakeholders. Food safety incidences cannot be handled in isolation. Everybody has a role to play. And if the incident is handled timeously and communicated effectively, this includes regulators, internal and external stakeholders, suppliers, the CPO community, the CBs, we'll be able to handle these incidences a lot more effectively and calmly. Kelly is 100% correct. If you as a leader of the food safety incident is panicking, the organization around you and the people around you are going to panic more than you are. So let's show a level of calmness. Let's be level-headed. Collaborate with the right people. The regulators are there to help us through those incidences. Use their expertise and knowledge to communicate to the wider customer base so that everybody is aligned. So yes, collaboration and is absolutely key.
Well said, Cindy. I think we started with food safety as a team sport, and incident management is absolutely a team sport. And I think it's really easy to get lost in the, I need to do this, I have to get this work done, I have to get this problem taken care of. My experience would say is as you bring in that broader stakeholder group and you've had them trained in on how to work through incident management and who those communication stakeholders are, you get to better answers that will deliver sustainable learnings. And you're more efficient as you communicate out externally, which makes life easier at your customer end. It makes and builds trust with your regulatory bodies as you're working with them on the action. And it also pays dividends with the consumer as well, as we talk about messages that develop trust. So it absolutely is a team sport. So build your plan, build it well, execute against it. And remember, it's not just the technical, it's the soft skills as well that are going to help you be successful.
Thank you. Lalaina, the last word is yours.
Thanks, Anne. Continuous improvement journey is going to be my final word so that we can actually, in the context of GFSI, make sure that where we put that seal of GFSI recognition, it does, you know, link to a direct food safety outcome and make sure not perceived as a guarantee of safe food, but setting a company up for success in its food safety management system and ensuring that they deliver safe food for human consumption.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much, ladies. Again, it was an honor to spend that time with you. I hope you enjoy the podcast as much as we enjoyed doing it. We also want to thank Jennifer Markovic, who is our comms lead at the Consumer Goods Forum for GFSI, who helped us.
Thank you for joining us for this special GFSI podcast to celebrate World Food Safety Day. If you would like to stay up to date with GFSI news and sign up to our mailing list, please visit our website, mygfsi.com.